Okay, I'm gonna start the meeting. Judy is gonna be signing in. I've turned the recording on. It's 7:03 for the record. This is the town of Hampton. Oh, here she is. Board of Finance regular meeting on Wednesday, February 10th, 2021. And the first order of business is roll call. And present are Ed Adaman, Nick Brown, Judy Buell, Diane Gagnon, Jessica Samios, Kathy Donahue, and Stan Crawford. And Kathy Newcomb, Alyssa did notify me that she would not be able to make it to the February meeting. Okay, next would be citizens' comments. Does anybody have any comments in the citizens' comments section? Okay, hearing none and seeing. What I'd like to do is switch the presentation around with the approval of minutes. And that way the people who are here from committees or boards can go first. Can I have a motion for that, please, to move number 5 up to number 4?
Make a motion to move 5 to 4.
Second, Gagnon, I'll second that.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Ed?
Aye.
Okay. Jesse, Kathy also. So Judy, in favor of changing the agenda around so we can have the presentations?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, that's everybody. It's unanimous. Okay, so Kevin's here for the Planning and Zoning Committee. Well, I guess you're up first, Kevin. Thanks for coming tonight.
And thank you all for having me, and thank you for adjusting the agenda accordingly. Brief presentation for you in regards to the planning and zoning budget items. We met at our regularly scheduled January meeting 2 weeks ago, discussed these, and with a unanimous vote, proceeded to forward these along to you. On the specific line items, moving from top to bottom, we have a slight reduction in our legal notices based upon the current COVID environment, as well as what we believe is to be, or we're hoping to be, practices moving forward, where we will be having less legal notices published in local newspapers in favor of notices published on websites and virtual media or social media outlets. So we've taken advantage of that reduction that we've seen, reducing that line item being 6010.02 by $400 from 2000 to 1600. Moving down to 05 under mapping, also taking advantage of a slight reduction, be it only $13, but reduction is a reduction. From NECOG in regards to fees the town is seeing for NECOG's mapping services. Under 06, you will see an increase from $250 to $1,000. That $750 increase is due to where we foresee required trainings coming in the upcoming calendar year. There are multiple bills in front of the legislature this session that are looking to be mandating additional training, or I should say mandating training, since there is no mandated training at this point. To commission members. While myself and the consultant town planner, John Guskowski, both believe from what we've been told that training should be at no additional charge to the towns. There are other outlets for or other opportunities for trainings. So we felt it would be prudent to increase that line item. Just understanding that $250 doesn't get you a lot of training, no matter the outlet. So recognizing that and bringing that up to a round number of $1,000, we felt was comfortable taking advantage of the item 08 as far as legal and engineering services. The $750 increase for training was balanced by a $750 decrease out of our legal and engineering services. I think I've said to this board before, taking advantage of the engineering services that CHA Consulting, be it John Guskowski and his colleagues, provide us within our current budget for consulting. We've been able to take advantage of some piggybacking as far as planning and engineering services. Asking for some free advice can never hurt, and so far so good. We haven't been billed accordingly. So being able to take the 750 out of item 8 and putting it up to item 6. The increase you see in 09 is a 2% increase to our consulting budget for CHA consulting. The commission was unanimous in our feeling that John Guskowski is serving our commission and the town in a very professional, very economic manner. And a $500 increase is absolutely in order in my opinion. And I will say just for conversational purposes, a 2% increase, while he hasn't asked for anything last year and a 2% this year is well below industry standard for consulting services to municipalities. So I think John is offering a very good value to the town. And at that $500 increase, we should be very happy. And that is that's the conclusion of this brief presentation. What you will see is an increase of $87. So all things considered, I hope that is met met comfortably by this commission, but I'm also happy to defend or provide some additional insight as to any of our conversations that got us here.
Okay, does anybody have any questions for Kevin? Okay, seeing none. Dana, could you keep an eye on chat for me? Because my screen is full, my chat's not popping. Just in case Stan wants to ask a question also, since he's doing it by phone. Okay, not hearing any questions on the budget. Thank you for your presentation, Kevin. And we are lucky to have John. He's also hosting our Board of Selectmen meetings for us at no additional charge. And you know, I think he's a very valuable asset to our community and our Planning and Zoning Board. So thank you. And I guess we're all set if nobody has any questions.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you all. This was my shortest meeting of the week. So I appreciate it greatly. Have a great night, guys.
Yep, you too. Okay, the other ones we had on the agenda tonight were inland and wetlands, which Stan is going to present for, and the fire department, which I don't see a representative from the fire department, but they weren't sure whether they were going to be able to make it tonight. So Stan, if you want to speak a little bit to the inland wetlands.
If you could put that up on the screen, it's a one-page printout I got from Dana, courtesy of Heather, our chairperson. I printed it out, and it shows me that this year's budget is the same as last year, no change at all.
Yeah, let me see if I can find it.
The total budget is $5,478.
Yeah, I can't put it up on the screen because I can't find it in my email right now. Right. It basically, the clerk is 1,484. The wetlands enforcement officer is 2,803. The legal notices they have in for $300. The mileage is in for $371. The land use fee is in for $180. They have supplies in for $150. And subscriptions in for $90. And the training in for $100. And again, as Stan said, this is the exact same budget that they presented last year with no increase. So does anybody have any questions for Stan or to forward to the board? Oh, the wetlands, and then wetlands. Okay, hearing done, we'll move on. Okay, since the fire department representative isn't here at this point in time, I'd like to move on to approval of minutes of the January 13th special and regular meeting. Can I have a motion? Let's start with the meeting, since it was
motion,
first.
Motion to accept.
To approve.
What did you say?
On the 13th? January 13th special meeting.
January
minutes.
13th. Motion to accept minutes.
Okay, that's made by Diane Gagnon.
I'm sorry, yes.
Can I have a second, please?
Yeah, I'll second it.
Okay. Seconded by Ed Edelman. Okay, discussion and review. Are there any changes or suggestions of things that need to be included that aren't on in these minutes currently? The members. Okay, hearing none. The only thing I'd like to add is, it would be on the second page, is that, you know, we were very lucky to have two excellent candidates come forward. Both candidates came with excellent experience, and, you know, I'd like to note that in the minutes also, but that's the only change that I would like to make. So I'm going to call the roll call. Vote Ed Aideman.
Aye.
Nick Brown.
Aye.
Judy Buell.
Aye.
Diane Gagnon.
Aye.
Jessica Samuels.
Aye.
And Kathy Donahue, aye. So those pass unanimously. Now I'd like to have a motion for the approval of the minutes of the regular meeting, January 13th, 2021.
Motion to accept the regular meeting, January 13th.
Okay, that's Diane Gagnon made the motion. Can I have a second?
Nick Brown, second.
Second.
Nick Brown, seconds. Okay. Same thing. Any discussion or additions that anybody would like to add to these minutes? Okay, hearing and seeing none, I will call the roll call again. Ed Aideman?
Aye.
Nick Brown?
Aye.
Judy Buell?
Aye.
Diane Gagnon?
Aye.
Jessica Samuels?
Aye.
And Kathy Donahue? Aye, so that's also unanimous. Dana, in the future, can we add like page numbers to them?
Yes.
That'd be great, thank you. Because when I print them out, I'm printing out a bunch of documents at once, so it'd just make it easier. Okay, and thank you for doing a great job on the minutes. Okay, moving on, we're going on to reports. And the first up is Al, first selectman.
Good evening. Some of the budget requests are starting to trickle in. Probably the biggest thing to report is an agreement with their health insurance provider, Connecticare, agreeing to a no-bid proposal of 4% increase for the next fiscal year. Our umbrella insurance, Kerma, be at 3%. Our last selectman's meeting, the selectman proposed a 2% increase for hired and appointed town employees and zero for elected officials. Signed an agreement with NECOG solidifying with Vision Appraisal reval contract for the next 5 years, which is basically $6,000 a year for 1,100 parcels. I have a meeting tomorrow with Eastford and Pomfret and KB Ambulance to come up with an agreement for the next fiscal year. The committee to look at shared resources and collaboration between the Hampton Elementary School and Scotland Elementary School did not meet this last month. Looking forward, there's some capital projects. Of course, we have the steep grant and the tennis courts. There's some issues with the town hall generator that's going to need addressing. Some HVAC issues in the Department of Public Works garage. And the Hampton Board of Education has proposed a lighting, LED lighting upgrade in the elementary school that'll be shared with Eversource, a grant and a couple thousand dollars from us to the light fixtures currently in place won't accept the LED bulbs. So this will be a total fixture upgrade, fixtures and lights that will save several thousand dollars of power a year. Any questions?
Does anybody have any questions? Okay, Al, the only thing I had a question on was the length of service award for the fire department. Has that been worked out or how?
I'm still waiting for data. Okay. Still waiting for data.
Okay.
I think I mentioned, maybe not last meeting, but meeting before, They seem to think if you took out the death benefit, balloon payment would make it more fiscally palatable. If it's so, it's just a yearly stipend and not void of a balloon death benefit.
Okay. All right. Thank you. That was the only question I had. No. Does anybody else have any questions for Al?
This is Stan.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the list you sent out last week of budget requests from TVCCA, Community Kitchen, NDDH, and United Services. Looking at United Services, the bill is based on population. They used the wrong year. They should be using the same year as NDDH. So their figure should not be $1,842. It should be $1,289.
I'll check on that. What's the population? 1,860?
I looked at the population that was listed from NDDH, and I don't have that on my screen. Just a second.
It was 1,842.
1,842?
Yeah.
It's bounced back and forth the last couple of years between 1860 and 1840.
I have a question too, Kathy Newcomb. Is the entire STEEP grant going to be used to resurface and upgrade the tennis courts?
Well, that's what we're going to focus on. The proposal I have is for just under $100,000. I think there's more money in that, in the matching funds from the town and the state grant.
Any idea what you'll use the rest of it for?
You need some sill replacement and HVAC improvements in the Grange. I'm getting pushback on a steel roof. But I have an HVAC proposal of around $15,000 to put air conditioning in the building now that we have energy efficient windows. And it's probably $7,000 to $10,000 of sill replacement on the east wall. The back wall of the sill is rotting near the alcove where the bathrooms meet the main building.
Thank you.
Yeah, I have a question also about some of the work around the town hall. I've recently become aware of a plan that was approved years ago for sort of a park-like area there. I believe Tom Gaines did a lot of work on that particular project and came up with some kind of plan. I'm not familiar with exactly what the plan is, but I didn't know if that's but I heard it was approved or, you know, was well received. And I didn't know if that's being used in any way as sort of a guide for future improvements that might, you know, generate from the STEEP grant.
Well, no, in fact, it really wasn't well received because there was a lot of controversial variables that garnered a lot of pushback, Ed, like moving the war memorial out back near a nature trail, extending the parking lot, which eventually we'll have to do. We've just been making incremental small upgrades to the parking area, and we did some drainage work. Part of that plan was to build a pavilion. We've done that, so that's accomplished, and put a walkway connecting the campus between the community center and the town hall. But that's about it.
Okay. Well, I just didn't know if it was just, you know, gathering dust on a shelf, or if it's, you know, being consulted or, you know, considered in some way, if some of the ideas are not,
We took the points that were well received.
Enveloped
those and discarded the rest.
So.
Okay. Well, all Tom's effort didn't go for naught.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it was considered because when, you know, well, I'm good. Sounds okay. No issues.
Anyone else? Okay, hearing no more questions from Al, I'll move on to the tax collector report. I didn't have a more recent report than the one we reviewed last month. I didn't receive it yet. So I'm going to move on to the treasurer. Ellen?
Okay, hi. I just wanted to let you know that the audit is complete. And I have one transfer request for $40 from election postage to election HAVA expense, please.
Okay. Election to the, it's going to the election HAVA from election
postage to HAVA.
To HAVA. So the accounts are 6009-04 and it's going to 6009-06 in the amount of $40. Can I have a motion for that, please? For that transfer?
Nick Brown makes a motion to approve the transfer.
Ed Edelman second.
Thank you. Okay, any discussions on this? This is basically within the department transfer, so this should be fine. It's for $40. Okay, hearing none, I'll do the roll call on the vote on this. Ed Edelman?
Aye.
Nick Brown?
Aye.
Steve Buell?
Aye.
Diane Gagnon?
Aye.
Jessica Samuels?
Aye.
And Kathy Donahue? Aye. Does anybody have any other questions for Ellen at this point?
Yes, I do, Kathy Newcomb. I'm Ellen, I'm looking at the balance sheets and I had some questions on this.
Okay.
I know that we approved that transfer in, I forget when it was, last July or something, of the interest, the account that holds all of the interest to the unassigned funds?
Yes.
Which ones of these funds are not included in, are included in that? In other words, which of the funds, which of the line items actually generate income that go into that particular line item?
I don't really think I understand your question. I'm sorry.
Well, I noticed that some of the line items have increased slightly since last month, and I'm assuming where it says a CD.
Oh, you're talking about the capital non-recurring fund.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yes. Every time the town clerk issues a license fee or a permit, some of the money goes into two funds for her, the historic document preservation and the discretionary fund. So those will change. I have been tapping into her discretionary fund at her request for payment for the town clerk assistant. So you'll see that going down. And you'll also see her budget request is looking for an increase in that line because there are more hours being used by the assistant. So the unallocated funds are always the interest that is earned on the STIF account. And the other two that would change would be, as I said, the town clerk two funds, historic documents and discretionary funds. The only other changes would be if the budget included adding funds to the capital non-recurring.
Okay. Where else did I see some? There was a jump in the emergency fuel fund. Was that donations,
yes.
Additional donations that came
yes.
in? And what's the deferred revenue other?
That's an that account that is an audit adjustment. That's completely an audit. Journal entry. I don't have any control over that. It's part of the audit.
What about these other under other current assets? All of the small cities amounts that was not on the December.
Right. Since the small cities office has disbanded in Hampton, the balances were put into the general my accounting system, and the auditor in his audit adjustments for this audit finally was able to determine how much of the liens were apportioned to the five or six towns that participate. So you'll see those broken down between Brooklyn, Chapman, Eastford, Hampton, Pomfret, and Scotland. Those are the outstanding liens that in the program. So that is new this month because I just received those entries.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Does anybody else have any other questions for Alan? No, okay, thank you, Alan. And we'll move on to Board of Education. Joan Fox is here, so we can hear about Region 11. Good evening, Joan.
In-school instruction started again on February 3rd, which was like this past week. And there were 148 students in school and 52 have chosen to do remote learning. And according to the State Department of Education, the Parish Hill graduation rate is 96.5%, which is significantly above the state average. And the other good news is that 100%, the graduation rate is 100% for special needs and minority students. So that was really good news to hear from them. The State Department also released data on school suspensions, and they've divided the data into four tiers, tier one being the one that has the least number of suspensions, and Parish Hill is in tier one. Another piece of really good news. The Sprague Board of Education had a subcommittee looking into adding Parish Hill as a school of choice. And they met last Monday night to discuss the issue, but they decided to table the vote until next month because they wanted more information about special ed tuition costs. So that vote will be coming up in another month, but it looks promising. Parish Hill has also been awarded $154,000 in an elementary and secondary school emergency relief fund. And the last piece to report is that at the last board meeting, we approved a science trip to Costa Rica in April of 2022. So that looks something to look forward to.
Okay, thank you, Joan.
You're welcome.
Okay, I don't see a representative from the Hampton Elementary Board here tonight, so I'm going to move on to Board of Finance Subcommittees, Policies and Procedures Committee, review draft of policies and procedures. Okay, I sent out, hang on, a draft and of the policies and procedures and an email about this. I said the committee met on 128 and 24 this year to continue the work on the policies. And the attached draft includes the changes through 128. Additional information and revisions from the 24 meeting have not been added to the draft yet. After the revisions, I will send the updated draft to our auditor and also to the board members for review and suggestions from the auditor. And that's where that is at this point. So I thought that we would start discussing and looking at them after the auditor gives us his opinion on any additions to them. But I just wanted to give you the most recent draft we had. That's why I updated you on the draft. Okay, moving on to the next one is review and possible action on approval of budget management policies and procedures for town agencies. Let's see if I can pop this on the screen or not.
Just to clarify that.
Go ahead, Ed. I'm sorry. I can't hear you. You're muted. Unmute, please.
That's the 6-page document that you sent along.
Yeah, okay. So yeah, it is. Just to clarify, I just pulled it up on the screen. I'm sharing my screen. I hope all of you can see it. First thing I want to say is this was Chapman's Board of Finance put this together to address some issues they had within their past audits and within their town to clarify the process for departments. And I started with theirs and I realized there's a lot of bold and underlining in this. That is because that was the changes that they had made recently to it. So it's not necessarily underlined to make it more prominent, you know, on the final draft of this. It will be, you know, all in the same standard print. And I also realized that there were some typos in this that were picked up in some language. I liked the idea that it tied, I'm gonna go to the end for a second. I like the idea that it tied into the statutes and that they would be have an appendix with the statutes on this so that they tied into that. And also that there was a form that for the revisions, and it spoke of, if I go back to page one, it spoke of the process and even in the emergency procedures. I had spoke to Al about this also, and you know, I would like the boards to be able to work together. And so the notification to each other under emergency situations, that turned into an and, that it's both the first selectman and the board of finance chair under an emergency situation. The people that are in the departments, if you look further down into this document, also have examples of what would need to come back to the board of finance, just to give them examples. If they're working within their department's total budget line, you know, they don't need to come to us. If they overexpend it, that's when they need to come to us and speak about that and ask for it to be approved. And it would be before the expense, not after the expense. So that's part of why I liked this as an original document. So I guess I'm gonna open this up for discussion now. Jesse, you had forward me some information, and I'd like to ask her after everybody speaks with some corrections that she found just going through as she was proofreading it. But so.
Yeah, I don't know, hard to get recognized, but I guess I am. So it references something referred to as the mid-year budget adjustment form. Is that something we currently have, or is this going to be a new document that we're going to?
That would be the new document. It would be if a department, you know, overexpends its total budget. So that would be the form that they would submit to us to say, you know, this is why this is an expenditure that we need to make, and they would submit it to the Board of Finance and the Treasurer.
Right, and it's not necessarily mid-year like the middle of the year, but whenever that over expenditure or need arises, that's when it would be, done?
Form if something came up at any time throughout that fiscal year. Okay, is there anyone else? I cannot. Oh, hang on a minute. Well, I have the document up. I don't get to see everyone. So speak up if you...
Yeah, I just had a quick question, Kathy. Mm-hmm. Has anybody, has either Ellen or anybody from the selectman side had a look at this? And
Yeah, we did. This was part of our policy and procedures meetings. So we had sent this out to everyone, you know, when we were talking about policies and procedures, and really the only change that was made to it was the "and" in the emergency spot instead of one calling the other, or whatever, just the notification part. But that was part of the discussions at the policy and procedure meetings.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious if Ellen or Alan had any, or Bob had any inputs or thoughts about it.
Okay, and anyone else? Any other questions? Okay, Jesse, I'm gonna ask you to go through and as far as when you proofread it, as far as some of the errors that you notice.
Sure, thanks, Kathy. Since we have it on screen, it makes it easy. In Section A, which is on the first page, third paragraph.
Good.
Okay, at the last line where it says the Board of Finance has adopted the policies, et cetera, while ensuring compliance, if anything, it should probably say ensuring and not insuring.
Okay, so
we're certainly not insuring. Insuring is kind of a legal word, but if anything, it would be with an E instead of an I.
Yep, and that was further down below. I believe it was insuring, so I think that's just a typo. Dana, yeah. Can you keep track of these as we go along?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. Keep going, Jess.
Okay. Okay, and Dana, if you have any questions later, I can always scan it and send it to you. Under policies, item 2, we say that every agency, including the Board of Education, has a statutory obligation to ensure compliance. For me, ensure is just kind of a key word that we hesitate, and I think it would have the same meaning if it said has a statutory obligation for compliance. It's obviously that's sort of splitting hairs, and other people may disagree.
Excuse me, but since we're on that item, I had a comment about that item also. So, okay, thank you. I was wondering why it specifically called out the Board of Education. I'm not sure why it would need to do that. If it says, in addition to the above, every agency has a statutory obligation, I'm not sure why you have to say including the Board of Ed in that.
Because the Board of Ed isn't really an agency. They're the Board of Education, and they have different statutes that pertain to them. So they have leeway within the statutes, the Connecticut state statutes, as far as what they can do with their budget. When we approve a budget as a whole, we're only approving the bottom line. They have the right to move money around without the finances board's approval, because the town legislative body has approved the budget as a whole for them, and that's the way their statutes work. So that was why that was put in separately.
Yeah, perhaps agents, is there another term other than agency that would include the Board of Ed? I just feel like when you start calling people out individually like that, it has a little bit of a accusatory kind of connotation, which I don't think, or adversarial, and I don't, I mean, that could just be me, but I mean, when you say agency, I mean, I don't really consider like Public Works Department an agency, and, you know, or various offices agencies.
Maybe we could call them town entities.
Well, we could call them boards and agencies. If you want to remove the Board of Education, boards, commissions, and agencies of their statutory department. So it's not specifically noting the Board of Education, it's boards in general. Does everybody agree on changing the wording that way?
Yeah, include committees too.
Include committees.
Boards, commissions, and committees, yeah.
It's commission, committees, and agencies.
Thank you. I think I like that better. I just didn't see a need to have to call them out separately.
They're separately when they, again, this was a document from Chapman, but what had got noted in their audit was specific to the Board of Education, their issues. So I think that's why they put it in this way. But I like what you're saying, Ed. That makes much more sense. Okay, any other areas on that page, Jess, or was that it for that page?
Yeah, just a couple of typos in item 3, C item 3. Second line, unanticipated and unavoidable.
Wait a minute.
Second line, 3.
And unavoidable, yep.
Yeah. And then the same line toward the end, it said, or is the result of an emergency or not of, or safety condition.
Mm-hmm.
And then I skip to page 3 under the examples, example 3. And it says action. It should say, I'll wait till it gets there.
Yeah.
It should say ABC does not need, as opposed to does no need.
Mm-hmm.
And Lastly, the statute should be Appendix A.
Yeah, up top, because that's how we referred to them in the document. Yep.
Yep. And we refer to it as Appendix A on the first page.
No. Okay, does anybody else have any other comments on this or any other areas that they would like to look at? And thank you, Jesse, for the proofreading.
You're welcome.
Yeah, just curious, did anybody double check to make sure Chaplin got the statute right?
The statutes, we can go through the statutes. We'll double check those to make sure that they're exactly as they are now, if they've been updated in any form. We'll double check those. That's a good thought. Thank you.
Actually, just a point of information that I think I know the answer to this, but in the statutes, it talks about different thresholds for the $20,000 about the middle of that part there. And yeah. It's related to the total on the grand list. And I wasn't sure, I think I know which category we're in, but are we in the $20,000 category for that? That number seems familiar to me.
Yes, I believe we are.
Okay, which means that our grand list exceeds $20 million.
I haven't seen
I have the new figure for the grand list. It's $164,962,030.
I guess that exceeds it. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. Any other questions on this? Okay, so we have to develop the form for the for the agencies, if our boards, et cetera, if they come forward and need extra money for expenditures throughout the fiscal year. So what I'd like to do is have this, now that we've proved it and agreed on some changes, bring it to the next meeting for final approval. We'll double check the statutes, Nick, to make sure that all the language is updated, if any changes have been made to those. We'll make the changes that everybody agreed upon and develop the other form. And I'd like to add it to next month's agenda for final review, if that's okay with everybody. And I'm going to pull the item down so I can actually see people again. Does everybody agree with that?
Yep.
Got a thumbs up from Stan, and everybody seems to be nodding their heads. That sure. Okay, thank you. That went well. Okay, under other. I don't have anything other under other. Next is correspondence. Forwarded your correspondence that I received from Al. One of them was Governor's Executive Order Number 10. Everyone has that suspended the reapplication filing requirements for the homeowners, elderly, disabled, circuit breaker, and freeze tax relief programs. I also forwarded to the board an electronic copy of the audit. We do have hard copies of them that we're going to be mailing out. Al had dropped them off at Daner's house. We just haven't had a chance to mail them out, but I thought that way you would have an electronic copy. I'm also going to reach out to the auditor to attend one of our meetings based on his schedule to, do a quick review of the audit and be able to answer anybody's questions that once they have a time to take a look at it or audit and see, give a brief presentation on that. And he agreed to do that last year, and I'd like to make that part of the process of when the audit goes in. I did make you aware that I had added language to a corrective action plan as a result of the purchase of the bucket truck, and Al and I spoke about that. I put the language together, and Al and I both agreed I wanted it to be going to the state with that we are working on our policies and procedures, and both with representation with Ellen participating, our treasurer, and also representation from our Board of Selectmen. And I thought that was important to note in our action plan. And that was it for on that. For correspondence, that's all I received. And so now we're going on to old business, 8A, development of a calendar for a budget process. I sent out another document. Let's see if I can pull it up. Which kind of ties into this because it talks about a timeline. This was lifted from the town of Pomfret. And again, this needs to be edited. And I realize a couple people noticed Pomfret was in there. I didn't catch that. And I'm sorry, because I was kind of in a rush when I did this. I just wanted to get it out before the meeting. But what I liked about this is at the beginning, it's a citizen's guide. It talks about the town budget, talks about the household versus the town, to try to give people an idea of what the different items are that appear in our budgets. It also talks about the operating budget and goes through each budget. I did eliminate one section from this, which was they have a separate fire department assessment, but I would like to, one of the things I'd like to add to this is the library, the fire department, and the seniors club information, and a blurb there, and that is part of our budgets, but that they're independent agencies are. And then the other is, what I liked about it is it actually talked about the months of how the budget comes together. And also, as we go further down, it talks about how citizens can participate. And I'd like to add, you know, the email addresses to this under the residents can contact any of the three boards via letter or email, to put the email addresses in, the actual address, the mailing addresses if people don't have that information. It talks about how it impacts your taxes. And then it talks about how it comes up with a mill rate. And I thought this was important information for people to have. And as a basic, I'd like to tie it to our finance board page. I just thought it was a good explanation to start with. So I'm going to open this up for discussion now. Does anybody have any comments on this?
I liked it. I thought it was really a good document and a lot of information in an easy to digest format.
Yeah, I found this in, when we were looking at the policies and procedures, and I was like, wow, I really like this document, and I don't think we have to reinvent the wheel, and it's well done from another town. Is there anything that anybody feels that should be in here that's not in here or should be added to this document?
If you could go back to that timeline, it seems like when I looked at it before, it looks like we don't do anything after June or something, you know.
Yeah, I'd like to reflect, number one, because of the COVID things. I'd also like to add the executive orders that are in place at this point in time, and also that sometimes that, you know, the budget does not get passed to a later date, depending on the information that we get from the state as far as revenue and if they've completed a budget, because, you know, we have approved our budgets in July recently because of the lack of information and the state hasn't put a budget together, or we don't have the total picture.
The way this is written, though, it almost looks like we're done with our business in June and we don't meet again till the following winter when we start going over budgets again. I mean, I think you
So we could put a blurb in about having monthly meetings.
Meetings, yeah, and you know, it's
the Board of Finance meets monthly, and you know, and the dates are available. I'd like to not put the dates in for the year, but the dates are available on the town website, and they meet at a regular time at 7 p.m. and you know, dates are posted annually.
And we're always looking for citizen input also. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I liked this, just because it told citizens where they can have input and how to go about it. Thanks, Ed. Is there anybody else who has anything that they think should be added?
This is Stan. I have a quick question.
Sure.
I didn't see on the document where the money comes from for the taxpayer to know how we pay all these bills.
Up top, it goes your household, and it does the revenue and the fund balance. It describes that. And then when you get to the bottom, Stan, I'm sorry, I'm moving it really quick to try to find the section. It talks about how the operating budget is done, but where does the revenue, what kinds of revenue does the town get? It talks about the revenue from the town, and then that the balance is done. It talks about the fiscal year, and then it talks about how the balance comes and how does this impact the taxes. So in the last page,
okay,
it does have that information. I'm sorry, I was scrolling it so fast. I didn't realize that people, I was just trying to keep
up. Okay, I see it. Just a note, I tripped over looking at a bunch of the paperwork that's coming. The Connecticut education funding is in decline year over year and looking forward. And I'm looking at last year's budget, and our education budget, both schools, was nearly all of the property tax collected. So if the state is going to give us less money, we're looking at a crunch coming down the road, no?
Yes, we are. The ECS grant had been adjusted and over that 10-year period. However, the preliminary information that's coming out for the ECS grants is that it will be frozen. I'm not in the continuation of the adjustment over that 10-year period will not happen this year. I'm not sure if that's going to last, the budget discussions at state level or not. I just received that information from Al half an hour before the meeting with the projections of what the town will get for next year. But, everything's very preliminary at this point. If they leave us at the 1,058,408, we would have been going down 55,596 into the following year again. That doesn't reflect, though, that we may have a drop of enrollment, and the drop in enrollment is again going to, that may not be the figure we get when the drop of enrollment is included in that.
Just quickly recap that for me. In that, does it look like we're going to continue to get less and less? Is that what you're saying? Because I know the state ended up doing pretty well with tax collecting this year and revenues,
Yeah, this was something that was done. I can send this out, the ECS grant and how it was figured out and the statutes and the acts that pertain to this. It was an adjustment because they had an adjusted ECS grant for a while, and some towns were exceeding what they should have. They changed the formula, and some towns were exceeding what they should have get based on their school population, and they felt that other towns weren't receiving enough. So they adjusted it over a 10-year period, and each year went down. Last year, when we did our town budget, we did not ask for an adjustment from either of the schools. We just held the school level at a 0%. The year before, we had done it based on the percentage of students. We asked the Board of Education to reduce based on the Board of the number of students that are in the elementary school. I also did requests at the Region 11 meeting recently, for them to be mindful of, the differences in the ECS grants from year to year from this legislation as they're producing their budgets. Any other questions or comments? The information Al sent me, he just sent me like half an hour ago, so I'll forward it to the board tomorrow as far as what the projections were. I'm sure they're going to be moving to, target as the state budget discussions happen, but, I'll update you whenever I receive information. So the development of the calendar for the budget process is kind of in the document that we just reviewed. What I'd like to do is add the language that's been suggested by the members and again, bring that back to the next meeting for everybody to review and add that other information in there. I do think we have to do something with the COVID also and the governor's orders. I don't, you know, right now they're not extended through the budget time, but you know, I don't know whether they will be or if they're going to change, but you know, I think we should have an asterisk that, you know, this is different in this year. Next fiscal year may be affected by. And that's it as far as that goes. Okay, old business, schedule budget workshop sessions. Dana had reached out to people who had turned in their budgets, and actually Ellen sent me a couple more today. We got the town clerks and another one that I need to send to you and the assessors. So what I'd like to do is continue to invite them to our regular meetings. If we have a mid-month meeting, is there a night that's good for people just for presentations? It wouldn't be a full meeting, it would just be for presentations as far as the membership goes. And if people don't know right now, if you could give me a night in between now and the next meeting, that's good. Then that's something we could send out to the other boards and committees and rep, you know, that we would have a brief meeting and that would be all that would be on the agenda other than the audience for citizen part. That way they could come to a brief meeting and do their presentations. I just think Al's gonna present a budget as a whole, but I just think it's important for us to listen to the rationale behind what those budgets are. So later on, if we have to make decisions, that we have the information. So people want.
I mean, we meet on Wednesday, so I don't know if you want to pick another Wednesday or something. You know, and as far and if people can't make it, I mean, you know, so be it. That if you miss one or two of these, I don't think it's quite as crucial as missing a regular meeting. So I think it's more important to make sure we have them and have them scheduled, you know,
and the tapes will be available, you know, the tapes will be posted and available. So if a member misses a meeting or can't make it on a particular night, then, you know, they would be able to listen to the tape, which would be a very short tape because it would only be the presentations. So, you know, if they want to listen to them afterwards for some reason, if they couldn't make it. So if Wednesdays are good for people, why don't everybody give me an email and what Wednesday's good between now and the next meeting, the next regular meeting, and then I'll pick a date and try to put that out to the different committees, boards, and departments and see if we can work together to do that. Okay, additions to the agenda. I don't have any. Does anybody else have anything that they would like to add to the agenda that they felt we haven't covered tonight?
Kathy, I wanted to just take a couple minutes to talk about food waste.
Oh, yeah, that's right, Nick. I didn't attend that meeting. Nick had approached me earlier about the food waste and the changes that are going to be happening and how that's going to affect our tipping fees and things moving forward. He wanted to work with the other committee, the Green. What was the name of the committee?
Sorry. Green Energy.
Yeah, the Green Energy Committee. He was going to go to that meeting and he had done some reading. He had forwarded to me an article that had been in the Connecticut Mirror and it also has been addressed in the Hartford Current also. I can forward that to the members. Okay, Nick, go ahead.
Long and short, the largest incinerator in the state is closing next year. It's anticipated that Connecticut's going to be there. 51 towns and municipalities will now need to find a place for their household waste as a result. It's anticipated that a lot more trash is going to have to be trucked out of state. Tipping fees will continue to increase. Right now, we're paying $90 a ton. I contacted Woolly Waste and ran historical numbers going back to 2004. We average just about 600 tons of household waste going through, this is Hampton and Scotland for the transfer station. I'm sorry?
Annually,
give or take, but approximately 600 tons of household waste. You know, you do the math, that's about $54,000 a year. According to the state sources, somewhere between 20 and 40% of household waste within the state of Connecticut is organics, quote unquote organics. About half of that is food waste, and the other half are sort of other organics. I imagine in Hampton in Scotland, we probably compost a lot more anyway. I know I do. I'm sure many of you also, you know, don't put much, if any, food waste in your household trash. But that said, we, you know, I'm sure we do have some food waste in our trash. Anyway, long and short, some towns like Mansfield, for example, I learned from the Green Energy Committee, they were having a at-cost program where they were distributing containers for compost, and they were trying to encourage their residents to, you know, just do more composting to divert some of that food waste. So met with the Green Energy Committee. They are interested in supporting. Also have spoken with the Boy Scout, and I shouldn't say Boy Scout, I should say the Scout Troop, both boys and girls. And we have a possible Eagle Scout candidate who's interested in sort of spearheading an effort to educate our residents. And I just wanted to bring it to this board's notice. Also, you know, at some point, bring it to the Board of Selectmen as well. Once the Scouts are, you know, with the Eagle Scout who's, you know, going to spearhead the effort, perhaps funds may be needed to sort of support this effort. So that's a brief introduction. If anybody has any thoughts or comments, I'd love to hear it.
So Nick, the containers would be for us to be able to compost people to compost at their homes, or are you talking about collecting this in a different format and selling it and finding an aftermarket for it?
Yeah, good question. And I don't know the answer. You know, at a minimum, if people would just compost more at home, that would be helpful, right? If we just had less food waste going to the transfer station, that would be a good thing. If we're really ambitious, we could consider having a centralized composting program, you know, where we were looking at, you know, an in-vessel process or a, you know, stackable process. That's much more complex, many more issues associated. You know, you got to think about vermin, you got to think about a lot more. So I don't know.
Because I know, you know, there was an app, like reading through the articles, there was an aftermarket for it, but that's kind of drying up in different places too. But, you know, some places had bags and had people separate it, and you know, there was trucking involved with that too. And there are limited places accepting it. I think this is great. Does anybody else have any comments? If you want to keep following up on this, I can add it as an item to the agenda as the information comes forward. Does anybody else have any questions or comments for Nick?
Stan did. Stan had a chat.
Okay, hang on. Let me pull it up.
I think Stan was volunteering Alan's farm.
I don't know how Al feels about that.
Yeah.
You have any contact?
There's actually several digesters being built in eastern Connecticut at large dairy farms. Mine is not one of them. That could eventually be a deposit place to break down the organic material and actually generate electricity. But it's going to take a while to get going.
Okay. Yeah, one of the laws that the state of Connecticut has implemented is if there's a composting facility and you're a large scale producer of waste, food waste, and you're within 20 miles of a facility, you have to divert your food waste to that facility. Mm-hmm. So for example, Eastern Connecticut University, you know, they're a big producer of food waste. they have to, if there is a facility within 20 miles, they will be required to compost their food waste. And then the other thing, there's a with farms right now, the law is only, they can only accept 5% above and beyond what they produce on site in terms of manure. So there's a, you know, I don't know if you've heard about this, Alan, I imagine you have, but there needs to be changes in laws to allow farms to accept more waste. But anyway, it's an evolving legislative thing. For now, my thought was just to try to divert less to the transfer station, and the scouts could be involved to educate. And, you know, if there's more support for an actually centralized program, you know, I'd like to hear from residents. You know, I don't know if that makes sense or not. I just don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the scouts putting something together and the town being part of that is an excellent idea, and it actually would reduce our tipping fees. And yeah, we live in a rural community where I think people would be interested in doing that. During the pandemic, a lot of people have, more people have their gardens regularly now because of being out places, et cetera. So just keep us updated and we'll add it to the agenda when you feel you have more information for coming
forward. That's a great idea.
I'm sorry, Kathy. Judy, you spoke. I didn't. Do you have a comment?
I was actually going to comment the same as Alan, that there's several anaerobic digesters that are, one is functioning, I believe, right now at Fort Hill Farms. And there's I know there's a couple in Woodstock that are looking to be built.
That's good news. And Kathy, you had something?
Yeah, I was just saying that it's a great idea. I think the whole thing is a great idea.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd really encourage people to compost. I've been doing it for 30 years or something. Yep.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Nick, for looking into that for us. We'll send the articles out. I'll try to find the Hartford Current one also, so we can send the articles out to the board members to bring them up on what has been out there for information on that so far. Okay, I guess that's it for tonight, and we're back to citizens' comments. Does anybody else have a comment?
Al Cahill, under statistics, Town of Hampton gained a new citizen today via your alternate member. Alyssa gave birth to a baby girl early this morning.
I have an idea. I'm going to be reaching out to the Board of Finance members. I don't want to put it on the tape because if she listens to the tape, but I have an idea for something for Alyssa and to celebrate.
Just wanted you to know if you didn't know. That's all. Yeah, thank you.
To celebrate the joy of adding to her family. And I'm glad everybody's okay and doing well. Thank you, Al. I'll send the idea out to everyone, and if people want to contribute, they can. But I'd like to keep the idea itself a surprise. Okay.
We're going to have to change those budget items for those agencies that were doing it based on population.
Yeah. Well, we lose people too.
Yes, unfortunately. All right. Any other comments? No. Okay. Moving on to suggestions for the next agenda. If anybody has any suggestions, we're going to bring back those two different documents for review and final approval with the additions that everybody spoke of. And if anybody else has, the usual stuff will be on here. If anybody else has any suggestions, you can email me, text me, forward it to the Board of Finance email. Any way you want to contact me, phone me, is fine. Just let me know.
Are we aiming for like three department presentations at each meeting?
Yeah, if we can get more, and if we can do it on that, like a Wednesday night, and get more people there, you know, the more the better, as far as that goes. But once we pick a date, we'll put the information out. Because, you know, it would enable them to, you know, attend a meeting for 5 or 10 minutes and answer the questions and be done and not have to wait through any of the usual agenda. And the date, place, and time of the next meeting. Dana, what's the date? Do you have the date for the next meeting? I should have these written down.
March 10th.
March 10th. 7 o'clock, and it'll be another Zoom meeting. And in the meantime, if everybody can send me their Wednesday availability, what Wednesday's best in between now and then, that would be great. And I guess I want to thank everybody, and I'm glad everybody's healthy. And I will adjourn, take a motion for adjournment.
Motion to adjourn, Diane Gagnon.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second by Nick. All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Everyone have a good night, and thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.